This is the BBC, with the Daily Minutes podcast. Oh no, it isn't. I mean, this is the Daily Minutes podcast. This is, however, not the BBC.
Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2174, with a release date of Friday, June 28th, 2019. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A major regional direction-finding championship is canceled. Hams pay tribute to the Granite Mountain Hotshots. And one ham celebrates a high-flying field day contact. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline number 2174 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We begin this week's report with word of the sudden cancellation of an important regional championship for fox hunting enthusiasts. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, picks up the story from here.
The amateur radio direction-finding championships that had been scheduled for September have been cancelled. The Chinese Radio Amateurs Club was to have hosted the competition, the 12th championships for Region 3, but announced the change in plans in a letter to the chairman of IARU Region 3's ARDF committee, Hiroshi Izutu, JF1, RPZ. The Chinese club's president, Li Haiqing, said the plan for hosting was not working out and attributed it to unforeseen difficulties that surfaced about a week ago. Li indicated that as a result, the event, which was to have begun on September 21st, has lost the necessary support from the local government. Attempts to devise an alternate plan were unsuccessful, he said. He acknowledged the disappointment this would bring and indicated he had better hopes for the future. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, said L2BHF.
The controversy continues as a proposal from France regarding the use of the 2-meter band advances to the agenda of yet another international meeting. With that update is Ed Durant, DD5LP.
The French proposal that the frequencies 144 to 146 megahertz be considered for aeronautical use has advanced to the agenda of a meeting in August, where it will be brought up for final inclusion during the World Radio Communication Conference in 2023. The move was taken during the recent meeting in Prague of the CEPT Project Team A. The IARU, which is against such a change, was present at the Prague meeting, where other administrations were not opposed to putting the new aeronautical frequencies on the agenda. The IARU has been a staunch defender of the 2-meter band, where hams around the world and amateur satellites make use of the frequencies on a primary basis. Meanwhile, the organisation intends to provide member societies and others with a brief encouraging them to review the French proposal before the meeting in August. The Prague meeting, which opened on the 17th of June, concluded on the 21st. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
In the U.S., the tragic loss of 19 wildfire specialists who perished 6 years ago in Arizona has not been forgotten. Those who died are being remembered once again, as Jim Dameron, N8TMW, tells us.
It's been 6 years since the loss of the 19 Granite Mountain Hotshots firefighters in Arizona. And Special Event Station N7GMH will be honoring them on June 30th, the anniversary of the tragedy. Be listening on HF frequencies ending in 19, plus or minus QRM and QRN. Operators from the Granite Mountain Hotshots Memorial Radio Club will be using CW and SSB. There will be a commemorative QSL certificate available for download by hams whose contacts are logged by the club. Despite their expertise and training in handling out-of-control wildfires, the group of 19 lost their lives in the Yarnell Hill Fire on June 30, 2013, and have been honored every year since. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
In the UK, there's a much more upbeat anniversary to celebrate, and it involves generations of youngsters who have been in scouting. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us more.
You can't just celebrate a 100-year anniversary with a one-day event. A century of existence sometimes calls for a full year of commemoration. That's why special event station GB100GP is on the air to the end of 2019, marking the evolution of Gilwell Park from its earliest role as a scouting campsite to the present headquarters of UK Scouting and Scout Leadership Training. A fun day event was held at the park on the 8th and 9th of June, with close to 400 contacts made by radio operators and scouts, according to Andrew Scar, G0LWU. He said the best DX came from the South American countries, Paraguay, Venezuela, Brazil and Argentina. There were also contacts with operators in North America, including a couple of Eagle Scouts who intend to visit Gilwell. The 100-year celebration continues, Andrew said, with other activity, Gilwell 24, a 24-hour event for scouts and explorer scouts set for the 13th and 14th of July. Meanwhile, continue to listen for the call sign GB100GP, calling QRZ and celebrating the century with the scouts. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Hams in Thailand offered a royal welcome to amateurs from Japan recently, and the occasion was just as royal. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has been following that story.
In a show of unity and solidarity, radio operators from Japan's AMSAT organization joined with members of the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand to operate at the satellite ground station HS0AJ in Thailand. Members of JAMSAT had been invited to commemorate the coronation of His Majesty King Vajiralongkorn as the 10th king to reign in the Chakri dynasty. The two-day operation using the SAL-2 satellite gives hams elsewhere a chance to contact special event station Hotel Sierra 10 King. The call sign had been issued by Thailand's regulator, the National Broadcasting and Telecommunications Commission, to mark the coronation. The hams were able to operate on June 22nd and 23rd using SSB and digital amateur TV. Launched last November from the Kennedy Space Center in the United States, the Oscar 100 geostationary amateur radio transponder made news for being the first amateur radio transponder in a geostationary orbit. It was the project of the Qatar Satellite Company and the Qatar Amateur Radio Society and AMSAT Deutschland. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
From the Netherlands comes some encouraging news for novice class operators. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, fills us in.
Novice licensees in the Netherlands are optimistic that they may soon be able to transmit with more power thanks to an ongoing review by two Dutch national amateur radio societies, Veron and VRZA, both working closely with the telecom agency. The organizations, which also surveyed radio amateurs as part of their study, are recommending a move to 100 watts for novice class operators who are presently restricted to 25 watts PEP for novice bands below 30 megs. Other recommendations include making the full 20 and 40 meter bands available. Whether these recommendations take effect is largely dependent on whether the Ministry of Economic Affairs and Climate will approve them. Meanwhile, nothing is expected to change until 2020. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH.
Engineers, computer scientists, and other employees in the Naval Air Warfare Center Weapons Division at Point Magoo, California, were schooled in some good old-fashioned radio fox hunting in early June to bolster their work at the center. The class had been arranged by Brian Hill, KF4CAM, the division's collaborative electronic warfare branch supervisor. The students learned to build Yagi antennas to detect signals from the small hidden radio transmitters. That is the focus of the fox hunt. Brian noted that this kind of hands-on approach brought the concepts home through a better approach than what he called death by PowerPoint. He said the environment of teamwork and competition tied in well to the type of electronic warfare missions used by naval aviation, the principles of which are the bedrock of the work done at Point Magoo. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the VK8MA repeater, on Sundays at 7 p.m. in the Northern Territory of Australia. If you thought operating satellites in your PJs was just a passing fad, think again. Walmart Parking Lots on the Air is back for another year of fun. Just go to a Walmart parking lot, get on a satellite, and make some contacts. Wimploda Weekend is the first full weekend of July near Walmart's birthday. This year, that's July 6th at 0000 UTC to July 7th at 2359 UTC. It's 48 hours of silly fun bonuses and grid squares. If you're interested in being a shopper or an associate, bag up. All the information and rules at wimploda.org. That's WMPLOTA.org. And on Twitter at WMPLOTA. If operating from national and regional parks are more your style, many of those are going to be busy for 2 days in late July. Dave Parks, WB8ODF, tells us about this outdoor competition.
Portable operators and outdoor enthusiasts are preparing now for the second annual Plaque Season, a two-day awards competition organized by the Parks on the Air. Contacts made involving national, state, and local level parks can qualify hunters and activators during the two-day event. It's taking place July 20th and 21st. According to Vance Martin, N3VEM, plaques will be awarded for achievements including Most Contacts Activator, Most Contacts Hunter, and a memorial plaque in memory of QRP pioneer Joe Everhart, N2CX, who became a silent key this year on May 14th. The memorial plaque will be given to the activator with the most CW contacts. For more details, visit parksontheair.com or the Facebook group of the same name. Then get out there and get on the air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, the original Parks on the Air, WB8ODF.
In the land down under, hams are celebrating the world above, the moon, and mankind's moonwalk anniversary. Here's John Williams, VK4JJW.
Australia is no closer to the moon than the Florida launch pad where the Apollo 11 mission took off from in July of 1969. But the country still has a special relationship with the historic moon landing. The TV broadcast of US astronaut Neil Armstrong's first moonwalk was received in Australia as history was being made. The Parkes Radio Telescope in New South Wales carried those images as mankind left footprints on the dusty, cratered, desolate surface. On the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, Station VI-3 Moon will be activated with the Mornington Peninsula Astronomical Society by David VK3JL from Mount Martha, Victoria, and will be active on all bands and modes from the 16th through the 24th of July. VI-3 Moon doesn't just want you in the log, they want your QSL card. Be listening. This will be a time to reflect on history that forever changed Earth's relationship with the Moon, and a time to celebrate Australia's role in that transformation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
The ham clubs that were part of last year's NASA on the Air event are back. And yes, they're joining in the lunar landing celebrations. Here's Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
It seems that everyone is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing by U.S. astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. So the same NASA-sanctioned radio clubs that are fresh from their immensely popular NASA on the Air event in 2018 are ready once again for action. They'll be hosting their own 50th anniversary special event that will operate on the anniversary dates from launch to splashdown, July 16th to July 24th. Kevin KK4YEL, a trustee of the Kennedy Space Center Club, told Newsline that each club will be bringing their own style to the celebration. The Johnson Space Center Club, W5RRR in Texas, will have the support of one of the engineers or programmers who had worked on the Apollo mission, and the first 10 people to contact with that station will get a handwritten letter of thanks from that team member. One of the more unique efforts, he said, can involve technician class operators. In the Los Angeles area near the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, W6VIO, the repeater will temporarily use the same tone that was used during the Apollo 11 transmissions. Kevin called the gesture, quote, a subtle reminder of the significance of what happened 50 years ago, end quote. He said all updates will appear on the website nasaontheair.wordpress.com and also Facebook and Twitter with the hashtag NASA on the Air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
In the world of DX, listen for Andrea IK0PUL using the call sign 9H3IK from Malta between the 5th and 12th of July. He will be working holiday style on 30, 20, and 17 meters using CW and sideband. QSL to his home call direct by the Bureau or LOTW. There will be a log search on Club Log. Dave, WJ2O, will be active as MD/WJ2O between July 11th and 17th on the Isle of Man. He will also participate in the IARU HF World Championship, taking place July 13th and 14th. QSL via N2ZN. Listen for Corel OK2ZI using the call sign 9Y4/OK2ZI from Trinidad through July 6th. Corel is on 40 through 10 meters using CW, sideband, and the digital modes. QSL via his home call sign direct by the Bureau or Club Logs OQRS. He will upload to Logbook of the World 6 months after the expedition. In Uganda, listen for Anders SM0HPL operating as 5X7W from Kampala until July 6th. He will be on the air in his spare time and can be heard on 20 through 10 meters and possibly 30 meters using CW, JT65, and FT8. QSL to SM0HPL using Club Log or Logbook of the World. We also remind our listeners that the annual 13 Colonies special event is running from the 1st to the 7th of July. This will be the 11th annual activation of this hugely popular celebration of America's independence, and stations from each of the original 13 colonies will be on the air on all bands and modes. For details, visit 13colonies, that's 13colonies.net. Ham radio operators all have their field day stories, but this year one ham is celebrating a contact he made way above the field. How about 37,000 feet above it, to be exact? John Garber, AC8XU, was calling CQ Field Day with his club when he logged a contact with Edward Finnegan, K9ECF. Ed wasn't working field day, however. The commercial airline pilot was in the sky, demonstrating the HF radio in the 737's cockpit, who's interested in becoming a ham. John not only worked Ed for field day, but then logged the contact with his own call sign. Then he shared his happiness on Facebook, writing, quote, "Thank you, Edward K9ECF, for my first airborne call," end quote. Flying and ham radio are a natural for Ed, who told Newsline that Boeing's inclusion of HF radios on their planes is what got him into amateur radio in the first place. With air traffic control communications a necessary priority, he said, he only operates on the ham frequencies as the workload permits. Still, his high-flying aeronautical station has landed him in scouts' logbooks during Jamboree on the Air, and most memorably, Ed has even served as a life-saving relay for a stranded boater in the Gulf of Mexico during a maritime mobile net. Of course, now with field day in the books, Ed can be sure of one other thing. Making that first field day airplane contact has got John Garber right up there in the clouds with him. With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Facebook, Kimberly Brown, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Parks on the Air, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, and WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and I have a note for our listeners. Due to the closure of ARRL headquarters on July 4th and 5th, audio news will not be distributed next week. And now these are our stories for Friday, June 28th. The FCC has put a public notice for comment on Petition for Rulemaking, RM11843, that seeks the creation of a new 8-meter amateur radio allocation on a secondary basis. The petition suggests the new ban could be centered on an industrial scientific medical segment somewhere between 40.51 and 40.70 megahertz. The spectrum between 40 and 41 megahertz is currently allocated to the federal government and, as such, within the purview of the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. ARRL member Michelle Bradley, KU3N of Maryland, filed the petition in May on behalf of REC Networks, which she founded and described in the petition as a leading advocate for a citizen's access to spectrum, including amateur radio spectrum. An allocation in the 8-meter band is available to radio amateurs in Ireland, where the Irish Radio Transmitter Society has developed a band plan for 40 through 41 megahertz. A World Radio Communication Conference 2023 agenda item proposing to study a range of frequencies, including potentially reassigning 144 through 146 megahertz as a primary aeronautical mobile service allocation, drew little opposition at a meeting of the European Conference of Postal and Telecommunications Administrations in Prague, Czech Republic. Introduced by France, the proposal targeting 144 through 146 megahertz would be part of a broader consideration of spectrum allocated to the aeronautical mobile service. Another issue addressed during the meeting concerned the sharing of the amateur radio 1240 through 1300 megahertz band with Europe's Galileo GPS system. The International Amateur Radio Union, which was represented at the Prague meeting, expressed grave concern about any proposal that would include 144 through 146 megahertz in the proposed aeronautical mobile services agenda item. IARU has pledged to make every effort to fully protect amateur radio interests. The annual Original 13 Colonies special event will mark its 11th anniversary this year. The event gets underway on July 1st at 1300 UTC and runs through July 7th at 0400 UTC. Special event stations with 1x1 call signs will represent the original 13 U.S. colonies. Each special event station will have its own QRZ.com profile page. Participating stations try to contact all 13 colony stations plus the two bonus stations. Call signs and their respective states are K2A, New York, K2B, Virginia, K2C, Rhode Island, K2D, Connecticut, K2E, Delaware, K2F, Maryland, K2G, Georgia, K2H, Massachusetts, K2I, New Jersey, K2J, North Carolina, K2K, New Hampshire, K2L, South Carolina, and K2M, Pennsylvania. The Islands on the Air, or IOTA, Amateur Radio Awards Program announced 6 new island entities at its Ham Radio Forum in Friedrichshafen, Germany this past weekend. The new groups have provisional numbers and will need to be confirmed by an operation after June 22nd that meets the 1,000 contact requirement in addition to other validations. Credit for prior operations will be considered only after a group number has been confirmed. Addition of the 6 new groups takes the total of confirmed or provisional IOTA numbers to 1,172, of which 1,131 have seen activity. IOTA policy caps the program at 1,200 groups. The new groups are AS-206 Honshu's Coastal Islands East Japan, AS-207 Chukchi Sea Coast Center Group Russia, OC-298 Tatakotu Atoll, Tuamotu Islands, French Polynesia, OC-299, Yap East Group, State of Yap, Federated States of Micronesia, OC-300, McKean and Nikumaruro Atolls, Phoenix Islands, Central Kiribati, SA-101, Alejandro Selkirk Island, Juan Fernandez Archipelago, Chile. A juried research paper published in the magazine Nature titled Oscillations of the Baseline of Solar Magnetic Field and Solar Irradiance on a Millennial Timescale suggests that a grand solar minimum, similar to the legendary Maunder minimum, is approaching. The researchers claim that it could start as early as next year and last for 3 solar cycles. That would be bad news for HF enthusiasts who are already struggling with marginal conditions.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
We have a few new satellites up there. There were a total of 24 satellites, not all amateur, launched June 25th. PSSAT-2 from the U.S. Naval Academy was one of them. It has a PRS 1200 baud packet on 145.825 MHz and PSK-31 and SSTV on 435.350 MHz. LightSail 2 from the Planetary Society was also launched on the 25th. You can listen for it on 437.025 MHz using 9600 BPS AX25 FSK. The call sign is WM9XPA. The University of Texas in Austin also had a satellite on board. It is called Armadillo. Its mission is to collect debris impact data, characterize ionospheric changes using GPS occultation, and evaluate a guidance, navigation, and control suite. It has 19.2K GFSK on 437.525 MHz and was heard over Japan by JA0CAW. Congrats to all the students, builders, and designers of all the satellites that were successfully launched and activated. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WBA-IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, June 28th. A tiny sunspot appeared recently, but it's not expected to do much. In fact, by the time you hear this forecast, it may have rotated entirely out of view. As a result, the solar flux index did edge up slightly to 68. Geomagnetic conditions are relatively quiet, so look for some weak band openings as high as 15 meters. On VHF and UHF, not only is 6 meters still doing well, some intense openings on 2 meters have been reported in the central U.S. Look for these to move gradually east over the next few days.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.
You can find this podcast on dmpodcast.net, DM is for Daily Minutes, and on several other platforms. De internetfaciliteiten en studio hardware voor Daily Minutes worden gesponsord door 70MHzShop.nl, 70MHzShop.nl.
Daily Minutes Podcast. Whoever hears this is crazy.
En microfoon naar retour.
This is Slow Scan Radio. Good evening, this is Peter John. We bring you experiments with slow scan TV images, mostly photos, and also several kinds of data transmission using FLDigi. We have a show sending some data and mostly SSTV images. The images can be received with your normal radio. The easiest way is to use a smartphone, holding it simply close to the receiver speaker. You will need an app like Robot 36 for Android or CQ SSTV for iOS then. There are also good programs for PC. More info about that you can find on our website www.slowscanradio.com. www.slowscanradio.com. For the data, preferably use FLDigi, although other programs most probably will work as well. Closed Scan Radio is copyright 2018, excluding rights of featured items and any music. Website is www.slowscanradio.com. Mail address is xray@xraydeltavictor.mikeecho.com.